Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're getting into something really important: how medications can actually cause delirium in adults.
That's right. And we're looking at this both in people with dementia and those without.
We've dug into a whole set of neurology guidelines, sort of trying to understand how these meds can trigger delirium and, what guidance is out there for prevention and management.
And it's such a critical topic. Delirium itself, I mean, this acute confusion and attention shift, it can be devastating, especially for older folks or those already dealing with dementia.
For sure. It leads to functional decline, distress, and it puts a real strain on healthcare resources, too.
A huge strain.
Exactly. And for our listeners, we know you want to get up to speed on complex stuff quickly. So this deep dive, our mission really is to pull out the absolute key info from this big systematic review of guidelines.
Kind of a shortcut through the dense material.
Precisely. A shortcut to understanding this complex issue. We looked at guidelines, consensus papers, white papers, protocols. Quite a mix.
A lot of different source types, yeah.
The review itself ended up focusing on 30 guidelines picked from, I think, 143 initially identified.
That's right, 30 high-quality ones published between 2003 and 2023.
And they covered, get this, around 140 individual medications potentially linked to delirium.
Which really just shows you the potential scope of this problem. Medication-induced delirium is, well, it's a widespread concern.
Okay, let's unpack this then. With so many drugs potentially involved, where did these guidelines seem most concerned? Which types of drugs kept coming up again and again?
Well, the review really highlighted a few key classes. Sedatives were number one, mentioned in a huge 80% of the guidelines.
80%? Wow.
Yeah, likely because of their direct effect on the brain, right? Especially if someone's cognitive reserve is already a bit low.
Makes sense. What else?
Opioids were right behind, cited in 73.3%. Then general psychoactive drugs at 70%.
And within psychoactive, you said.
Anticonvulsants specifically came up in nearly half, about 46.7%. Then you have anticholinergic agents, always a big one, for cognitive side effects mentioned in two-thirds, 66.7%. Antihistamines were common too, at 60%.
Even antihistamines like allergy meds.
Especially the older ones, yeah. And steroids also made the list, cited in just over half. 53.3%.
That covers a lot of really common medications people take every day. It's quite striking.
It is. And those weren't the only ones, though they were the most frequent.
Ooh. What else was mentioned, even if less often?
Well, the review also flagged things like antidepressants, H2 antagonists, for stomach acid.
Like Zantac or Tagamet used to be.
Exactly. Also, antihypertensives, anti-Parkinsonian drugs, antiarrhythmics for heart rhythm, antibiotics, and even NSAIDs, common pain relievers.
So ibuprofen, naproxen, that kind of thing.
Potentially, yes. So while those first few categories were the big hitters, the list of potential culprits is actually quite broad.
Okay, here's something that really jumped out at me from the review. These guidelines, they were rated as high quality using this AGREE2 tool, right?
Yes, that's a standard tool for assessing guideline quality.
But despite that high rating, the review found a major gap. What kind of details were missing?
That's a really crucial point. Even though they scored well overall on methodology and reporting, they often lacked, well, specifics, actionable details.
Like what exactly?
For instance, they often didn't go deep into how the actual pharmacological mechanisms by which these drugs might cause delirium.
So they say drug X is risky, but not really why it's risky on a biological level.
Often, yes. Or the information was very general. There was also a lack of detail on individual risk factors. Who's most likely to be affected by a certain drug? Knowing anticholinergics are bad is one thing, but knowing why they might be especially bad for this specific patient, that's the next level of detail that was often missing.
So the guidelines give a broad warning, but maybe not enough granular info for doctors to really tailor the advice.
Precisely. Things like specific dosing instructions related to delirium risk were often absent. Or details on what kind of delirium symptoms might show up with a particular drug. And crucially, not enough about therapeutic alternatives. If you can't use this drug, what's a safer option?
That seems like a huge gap for practical use.
It is. And also, not much on which drug combinations are particularly risky. We know polypharmacy is a factor, but which specific mixes should really raise red flags? That wasn't well covered.
That lack of specifics feels like a real barrier to preventing this effectively. If you're a clinician, just knowing a whole class is risky isn't always enough, is it?
No, not at all. You need those finer points to make the best decisions for each patient. It really highlights how complex this is and, frankly, how much more research and detailed guidance we still need.
Let's dig into the why a bit more. What are some of the ways these drugs are thought to actually trigger delirium? What mechanisms did the review mention?
Several key things. One is simply whether the drug can cross the blood-brain barrier. If it gets into the brain easily, it can obviously have more direct effects. And certain conditions, like kidney failure, can actually make that barrier more permeable, sort of leakier.
Ah, letting more drug in than usual.
Exactly. Then there's the drug-specific action. Anticholinergic activity is a big one, blocking acetylcholine, which is vital for attention and memory.
Right. We hear about anticholinergic effects a lot with cognitive issues.
Definitely. And also drugs that mess with dopamine levels. Another mechanism is serotonin syndrome, too much serotonin, often from combining certain drugs.
Which drugs are common culprits there?
Things like SSRI antidepressants, the antibiotic linezolid, tramadol for pain, even amphetamines. That combination can really throw things off.
Okay. What about less direct effects?
Sleep disruption is huge. Meds that mess up your sleep architecture make you much more vulnerable to delirium.
I can see that.
And then there are age-related changes. How our bodies handle drugs, pharmacokinetics, and pharmacodynamics changes as we get older. Kidneys and liver might not clear drugs as well, leading to toxic buildup.
Especially if there's already kidney or liver disease present.
Absolutely. That compounds the risk. Drug interactions are another factor, obviously. And even drug withdrawal from certain medications can trigger delirium.
And polypharmacy, just taking lots of medications.
Yes. Though how that's defined varies. Some guidelines, particularly some Australian ones, specifically flagged adding three or more new meds as a risky point.
Interesting. Okay, that gives us a good picture of the how. Let's dive into some specific drug classes now, starting with antipsychotics. What did the guidelines say there?
Well, with antipsychotics, the risk seems to be dose-dependent and also tied to the patient's age.
So higher doses, older patients, more risk?
Generally, yes. And while antipsychotics can cause delirium, especially in palliative care, some guidelines do suggest that very low doses of certain ones like haloperidol, quetiapine, or risperidone might be cautiously used.
Used for what?
For managing hyperactive delirium, like severe agitation or anxiety, but only when absolutely necessary.
But there are risks with using them, too.
Big time. Especially in older adults. You worry about extrapyramidal symptoms, movement problems, sedation, anticholinergic effects, heart issues, tardive dyskinesia.
What potential downsides?
Yes. And they can also reduce the effectiveness of dementia medications, the cholinesterase inhibitors. Sometimes they might even trigger or worsen delirium themselves. It's tricky.
So it sounds like a very careful balancing act is needed. What's the overall advice?
Use the lowest effective dose for the shortest time possible, and really only if the patient is a danger to themselves or others due to severe agitation.
And are some worse than others?
Older, first-generation ones like haloperidol tend to have more neurological side effects and risk of QTC prolongation. It's a heart rhythm issue.
Right.
The guidelines mention specific dose ranges to be cautious with for haloperidol and risperidone, flagging risks like EPS, QTC issues, especially with IV haloperidol and orthostatic hypotension, that dizziness when standing up.
And other specific antipsychotics were named.
Yeah, olanzapine, thioridazine, flufenazine, prochlorperazine, perphenazine, trifluoperazine, chlorpromazine, all were flagged as carrying a risk of causing cognitive impairment or delirium.
Okay, let's switch gears to benzodiazepines, another class that came up frequently. What's the story there?
Benzos are a major concern. Consistently linked to a significantly higher chance of developing delirium in hospitals, post-surgery, in care homes, palliative care, pretty much across the board.
Is it dose-related, like antipsychotics?
Yes. Higher doses and longer-acting benzos seem to pose a greater risk. The guidelines really stress limiting their use.
To what situations?
Really specific things. Alcohol withdrawal, managing acute seizures, and sometimes for palliative sedation under very specific circumstances.
So definitely not the first choice for just, say, anxiety or trouble sleeping in vulnerable people?
Absolutely not. They're linked to more falls, more delirium, hip fractures, even higher mortality. They shouldn't be the go-to for insomnia or agitation.
And especially risky in dementia patients.
Very much so. Increased risk of delirium, falls, worsening agitation, confusion, even stroke, and premature death. Even the short-acting ones can impair cognition.
Were any specific benzos highlighted?
Lorazepam, which is medium-acting, was mentioned for potential use in alcohol withdrawal or terminal delirium. Alprazolam and oxazepam, also medium-acting, apparently weren't flagged quite as strongly as lorazepam in these guidelines.
But the long-acting ones?
Diazepam, clobazam, clordiazepoxide, Those are generally considered more directly deleriogenic. Best avoided if possible in at-risk individuals.
What about the Z drugs for sleep, like Ambien?
Zolpidem, yeah, that's Ambien. It was specifically shown in the guidelines review to be linked with confusion, disorientation, and delirium. The other Z drugs weren't really discussed in this context in these specific sources.
Okay. How about other psychoactive drugs, like lithium for bipolar disorder?
Lithium has that very narrow therapeutic window, right? The dose needs to be just right.
Requires monitoring.
Exactly, especially if kidney function is poor. Lithium toxicity, which can happen sometimes if combined with other drugs, is seen as an indirect risk factor for delirium. And we already mentioned some older antipsychotics causing cognitive issues. Interestingly, long-term haloperidol use itself is considered a delirium risk factor, even though low doses are sometimes used short-term to manage it.
Right, the paradox there. Let's talk opioids, huge class of drugs. What did the guidelines say about their delirium risk?
It varied a bit. Pethidine or meperidine seemed to be the most likely to cause delirium.
And the least likely.
Oxycodone appeared to have the lowest risk in the data reviewed. Morphine and fentanyl weren't significantly associated, interestingly.
But fentanyl patches.
Transdermal fentanyl is a big no-no for non-cancer pain in people who aren't already used to opioids. High risk of delirium there.
What about other common opioids?
Codeine, dihydrocodeine, propoxyphene, hydromorphone. They all carry some deleriogenic risk, according to the guidelines.
And tramadol.
The main warning there was about combining it with other drugs that affect serotonin because of that serotonin syndrome risk we talked about.
Got it. And anticonvulsants for seizures.
Yeah.
Any stand out as higher risk?
Some of the older ones, yeah. Phenobarbital, primidone, clonazepam. They seemed linked to more cognitive impairment than drugs like valproic acid, carbamazepine, or phenytoin.
Any idea why?
One theory mentioned was their impact on REM sleep or causing sleep fragmentation. Mycelene, another one, was specifically cautioned against in palliative care due to cognitive effects.
Okay. Anticholinergics and antimuscarinics, we know they're risky. Any specifics?
Yeah, the guidelines really hammer this home, especially for older patients. They increase delirium risk, can interfere with dementia meds, cause sedation, confusion, falls.
Which specific ones were mentioned?
Things like belladonna alkaloids, homatropine, glycopyrrolate, also some drugs used for stomach motility issues, toltridine for bladder control, and atropine and hyoscine were flagged too.
What about over-the-counter antihistamines? You mentioned them earlier.
Right. The first-generation ones, bromphenramine, hydroxyzine, promethazine, dimenhydrinate, they have higher delirium potential.
Because they get into the brain more easily.
Exactly. And they have those anticholinergic effects. Diphenhydramine, found in Benadryl and many sleep aids, is specifically advised against for preventing or treating delirium.
Even some newer ones have some risk.
Some, yeah. Loratadine, Claritin, and Meclizine, often for motion sickness, still have some anticholinergic potential, just generally less than the older ones.
It's really surprising how many common drug types popped up. Even things like H2 blockers for heartburn and blood pressure meds.
Yes. For H2 blockers, cimetidine, Tagamet, seemed highest risk, though the overall evidence wasn't conclusive for the whole class.
And for blood pressure.
Among beta blockers, propranolol and metoprolol were noted. Huh. For calcium channel blockers, the dihydropyridine type carried the highest risk.
Oh, wow. Corticosteroids, too.
Yep. They can have unpredictable effects, mess with sleep, have anticholinergic side effects. The advice was to avoid high doses and stopping them suddenly.
And even NSAIDs, how are they linked?
Indirectly. They can sometimes cause acute kidney failure, and kidney failure itself is a risk factor for delirium. Indomethacin was specifically mentioned as potentially more toxic in that regard.
And finally, anti-Parkinson's drugs.
High risk, because they work on dopamine and often have anticholinergic effects. But, critically, levodopa, the main treatment, generally shouldn't be stopped abruptly.
That's a huge list of potentially problematic meds. Now, the flip side, did the guidelines offer much help in terms of alternatives? Safer options?
Unfortunately, that was a real weak spot identified in the review. Very limited information.
Really?
Yeah, only 3 out of the 30 guidelines gave specific alternatives. And often it was just general advice like switch to a newer generation drug.
Not very concrete.
No. One guideline from Canadian Nurses in 2016 had the most detail. But even then, specific dosing for the alternatives was almost never provided across any of the guidelines.
Can you give some examples of the few alternatives that were mentioned?
Sure. If fentanyl was a concern for pain, maybe hydromorphone, acetaminophen, or tramadol.
Okay.
For nausea, instead of metoclopramide or prochlorperazine, maybe ondansetron.
That makes sense, avoiding the dopamine effects.
Right. If older antihistamines were the issue, maybe loratadine, if simetidone for stomach acid, maybe ranitidine or famotidine.
Got it.
If haloperidol wasn't suitable, sometimes metotrimeprazine was suggested, though it's quite sedating. And for depression, SSRIs were generally seen as less risky for delirium than older tricyclics, although cases still happen.
Okay, let's shift focus slightly to patients who already have dementia. This group is particularly vulnerable, right? What did the guidelines say about medication-induced delirium specifically for them?
The main message was really caution. Pharmacological treatments for delirium in people with dementia should be a last resort.
Only after other things have failed.
Exactly. Only if the person's behavior is a danger to themselves or others, and after non-drug approaches have been tried properly and haven't worked.
Any other key points for this group?
Yes, an emphasis on using regular, scheduled medication doses if needed, rather than as needed, or PRN dosing.
That's interesting.
The review did pull out some detailed info on using antipsychotics, cholinesterase inhibitors, and benzos in this group, including some specific dosing from one UK regional guideline.
Okay. And what about treating delirium more generally, regardless of dementia status? What were the main principles?
The big one. Drugs are generally not the first-line treatment because, you know, meds can often be part of the problem in the first place.
Right. They can be a cause or a contributor.
Exactly. So the focus should be non-pharmacological strategies first and trying really hard to find and treat the underlying cause of the delirium.
But if meds are needed for safety,
then the advice was generally to use the lowest effective dose of haloperidol, quetiapine, or risperidone. But importantly, the review found there wasn't strong evidence to support routinely using antipsychotics to prevent or treat delirium.
Any other drugs mentioned for treatment?
Dexmedetomidine came up. It's an alpha-2 agonist, used mainly in ICUs. It seems to help reduce delirium and agitation in critically ill patients.
You mentioned the link between dementia and delirium earlier. Can you expand on that based on the guidelines?
Sure. Dementia is definitely a major predisposing factor. Having dementia makes you much more likely to develop delirium if you get sick or have surgery, for example.
And the role of dementia meds, like cholinesterase inhibitors.
There's some discussion around them. Drugs like donepezil, used for Alzheimer's, have been suggested as possibly helping to treat or even prevent delirium, not just in dementia patients, but also in critically ill patients without dementia.
Any evidence for that?
Some studies hinted that patients already on donepezil before going into the hospital had lower rates of delirium. But
the evidence isn't rock solid yet.
Exactly. Like a lot of things with delirium treatment, the overall quality of evidence is still limited. More research is definitely needed there.
This has been really illuminating, but it's also clear there are gaps. What were the main limitations highlighted in these guidelines and our understanding overall?
Several things stood out. One basic issue is just inconsistent terminology in delirium research itself. It makes it hard to compare studies.
Yeah, different definitions or ways of measuring it.
Precisely. And as we've talked about a lot, the guidelines often lack those specific, actionable details about the meds, the mechanisms, the dosing, the specific symptoms, the alternatives.
Okay.
It's often unclear which specific delirium symptoms go with which drug or drug class. Is it confusion, hallucinations,
that is
agitation?
Depressing. We don't always know.
We often don't. There's also very little on which drug combinations to definitely avoid. We know polypharmacy is bad, but the specifics are fuzzy.
And quantifying the risk.
No standard way to do that reliably for individual drugs yet.
Mm.
And finally, the review authors suggested maybe we need to think about delirium in subtypes based on the cause to do better research.
Sort of like medication-induced delirium might be different from infection-induced delirium.
Potentially, yes. Understanding those differences might lead to more targeted approaches down the line.
Okay, bringing this deep dive toward a close then. What are the absolute must-know takeaways for our listeners from this look at the neurology guidelines?
I think the biggest one is this. Lots of guidelines identify risky medications, but there's a real gap in the detailed, practical information needed to truly guide prescribing and management day to day.
The what is there, but not enough of the how or why exactly.
You got it. We saw the classes that pop up most: sedatives, opioids, psychoactives, anticholinergics, antihistamines. It shows how common meds can impact cognitive health, especially in older adults or those with dementia.
So awareness is key.
Awareness and recognizing the complexity. It demands really careful consideration when prescribing. And clearly, we need more targeted research to understand the specific risks and mechanisms better for different drugs and different people.
That definitely leaves us with a critical thought for everyone listening. Given how many of us take medications and how serious delirium can be, how can we individuals, families, healthcare providers all work together to be more vigilant?
That's the question, isn't it?
Maybe it means being more proactive about reviewing medication lists, really talking through potential side effects with doctors and pharmacists, asking, is this really necessary? And always considering non-drug options first for things like sleep or agitation.
Open communication is vital.
Absolutely. Staying informed, advocating for clarity, asking those tough questions seems like that's crucial for protecting cognitive health in this complex medication landscape. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.